Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
Oh, I'm trying to get in the holiday spirit in this 78 degree weather.
Oh, you should have been here yesterday then.
Yeah?
So,
did you get snow?
So, no, it was the coldest night of the year so far. It was 22 degrees.
Ouch.
And in the middle of the night, some idiot hit a utility pole with a car and we had no power.
Oh, no.
So, and not just our neighborhood, but most of the town was without power. Like, they hit a junction box for, like, most of the town or something.
Holy crap.
And so everybody's freezing in the house. Like, around 9:30, the power comes on for about 10 minutes and then goes off again. For another couple of hours. And when it came on, the house was at like 40 degrees.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh my God, this is going to suck. So like we bundle everybody up and we go out and like go get hot chocolate and just, you know, sit in a warm car. Mm-hmm. And by the time we came home at noon, everything was back on, but the house was sitting at around 42 degrees. So it took most of the day to get it back up to something that was at least comfortable. So yeah, yesterday sucked. So it felt like Christmas here in the worst kind of way.
Oh, well, that's good.
Did you put up your Christmas tree?
Not so much, Danny. No, I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
It's only going to be up for a couple of weeks before I go home, and then I'm going to have to come back and take it down, and things are going to get busy after the first, so...
And then the tree stays up all year.
Like, this tree stays up all year. That's right. I'll become that guy. Yes. That's my plan, actually.
Oh, okay. Just put up Christmas lights and leave them on the house the whole year? Sure.
But I got my Christmas cards ready to go, and yeah.
Nice.
Watching some Christmas specials to get in the mood.
Yeah, did you watch the tree lighting in New York?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, eh.
That's usually how it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I did watch one, though, that I think you might be interested in. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
I think it's called Jack in Time for Christmas, and it stars Jack Whitehall, who's a British actor.
Yeah.
And basically it's kind of there's a very loose plot where he gets stranded for Christmas and tries to find a way back home.
Okay.
And it's very Planes, Trains, and Automobiles meets... what was the show Warwick Davis did with Pilkington?
Oh, were they like Broad?
Yes.
Okay.
So first thing he does is he hits up Michael Bublé, and he's, you know, so I'm trying to get home for Christmas, and Michael Bublé goes, you know, I'm going to be completely honest with you, I fucking hate Christmas.
Okay.
So there's all this stuff with, you know, Bublé, who's known as the Christmas guy, saying that he's, you know, saying fuck a lot. He catches a ride on David Bautista's private jet.
Okay.
He ends up in Switzerland with the Great Britain bobsled team. And he keeps making cool runnings jokes that they don't get. But in the end, they force him to go down the hill in the bobsled with them.
Okay.
And he's like shitting his pants the whole time. It's very funny. It's like 45 minutes. It's worth checking out for a laugh.
But it's all these people as themselves?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
You know, he's on Batista's plane, and Batista's just trying to relax and get some sleep, and, you know, like he's, you know, opening a bag of potato chips and all kinds of stuff like that. Or okay. He's trying to like wrap his presents and he's making noise with like the tape and it's amusing.
Okay.
So yeah.
Is it better than doing a Very Murray Christmas?
You know, I don't think I've even watched a Very Murray Christmas yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's several years old, isn't it?
Yes. I think it was during the pandemic.
Yes. Yeah. No.
No. Oh, okay.
Are you ready for Christmas?
No.
No? Are you going to be ready for Christmas?
I hope so.
Okay.
I have been 3D printing gifts for certain people. That's all going swimmingly. Like, the kid keeps changing her mind on stuff. And it's like, well, no, I need a list so that I can actually buy you stuff. But we'll see.
No list means socks and underwear. It
means I get to decide what you get.
That's right.
And you're not going to like it. But yeah,
look,
I mean,
it's a new resin printer, honey. I'll show you how to use it.
It's everything that you want. It's a 3D printer with tons of filament. It's going to live in my studio.
That's funny.
So, did you happen to catch the first two episodes of the new Star Wars show, Skeleton Crew?
I did.
Okay. And how are you feeling about this new take on Star Wars?
I don't hate it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's obviously for a very specific audience.
Yes, we are not the audience for this.
No. No. And it's really interesting how, like, there's suburbia in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, so the idea at the end of the second episode is that they're from a lost planet.
Okay.
At Atlan, I think it's called. I think that's what they were calling it, at Atlan. And the idea is that they have, like, they're dealing in High Republic credits. Like, that's what the father has given to his kid that he has when they get lost.
Right.
And nobody's seen them in a while. And so they drop this name and all the pirates are like, wait, what? So I guess it's going to be this race between losing the pirates and the pirates figuring out where this lost world is. And okay. I guess the people of Atlan feel that the barrier can't be penetrated by a ship, even though it can be. So they've fallen into this society that's basically suburbia, where they're doing these jobs that I guess are for the Republic that aren't like, but the Republic doesn't exist anymore. And they have no concept of the Empire. Is the way that I'm kind of reading this. So I don't know.
Okay.
But it's very Goonies in space. It's very, very heavy handed. Like, there's a scene, I think it's in the second episode, where they're looking through the ship that they found and the kid finds a pirate hat kind of give you the idea that, oh, this is a pirate ship. And it's
Goonies.
It's like, okay, now we're really heavy handed in like the imagery of the pirates. And like, it wasn't just bad enough that they were called space pirates. But I'm assuming that Jude Law is the pirate captain from the beginning that they take.
Oh, okay. I haven't made that connection yet.
I don't, it seems very, because the wolf guy, I don't know what their names are yet, but the wolf pirate is now in charge after the dude with the big helmet gets replaced.
Right.
And I would assume that was Jude Law, that like that's going to be the reveal. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But I don't know. I I like it. It's not like the most stunning thing that I've ever seen because it's not meant for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think to the right audience, I think this is going to be huge.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the toxic Star Wars fans that will be like, well, it's not, this isn't good. And it's like, well, it's not meant for you.
Right.
So stop, but they don't thinking understand it that. Is. Yeah. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it goes and where they take the story and if it even bleeds into any of the other shows. I mean, there is the right. one pirate that they share with Mandalorian.
Yeah.
But everybody else seems to be new. You know, I guess Mandalorian was the first time that space pirates were really even talked about in the Star Wars canon.
They're in some of the novels and the comic books.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you know, the pirate stronghold that they go to felt very Pirates of the Caribbean in space. Mm-hmm. You know, if they have a guy that starts acting like Jack Sparrow, I'm just going to like give up. but I mean, I definitely don't think it's as bad as some of the entries of the Star Wars TV universe.
Okay.
You know, the kids on the speeder bikes looked way better than the Vespa gang from Boba Fett.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they've kind of learned their lesson with some of it. But being that this audience is meant for, I don't know, probably like 13 and under.
Yeah, I'd say so.
You know, I think it's done very well. I think the visual effects look great and, you know, all the standard stuff. I like the Nick Frost droid and hoping that he's not dead, that he actually shows yep. back up. But yeah, I mean, I like it more than I thought I would, at least enough to keep watching it.
Yeah.
I just don't know, you know, if I'll be clamoring for season two or not.
I think what they're hoping is people are clamoring for toys.
Yeah, but I don't really see a whole lot besides like action figures that they could really do with this. I kept looking for, like, as somebody who 3D prints stuff, what's going to wind up on the websites of like, here's the next cool thing that you're going to 3D print, because they did that with the Acolyte. Like, as soon as the Acolyte came out, the Stranger's helmet right. was on like every website that you could download 3D prints from.
Right.
And for this, well, I haven't really seen anything.
Well, I have seen some people passing around pictures of the skeleton key.
Okay.
So, but I mean, that's not a huge thing.
Right.
You know, it's not a helmet.
Right. And, you know, even with Acolyte, for as much as people didn't like that, they turned out all of the lightsabers for it and mm-hmm. Quimmer's helmet and his fan brace and like all that stuff was eventually like clamored for in the 3D world. So I haven't seen anything from Skeleton Crew though.
No, not yet.
I mean, in comparison, when Mandalorian first came out, they were turning out 3D print files the day that the episodes aired. And so okay. whatever they could find, like that first season, like I remember the episode where they do the prison break on the ship, the transponder that the Republic guy had, that was out like 2 hours after the show premiered. because everybody was just like, anything that you can get from this is like what we're going to make. And like now you don't really see a whole lot anymore. So I don't know. What else did you watch this week?
What else did I watch? I watched something new.
Okay.
That I don't know if you'd really be into it, okay. But it's another Margot Martindale movie series.
Okay.
It's called The Sticky, and it's about a maple syrup heist in Canada.
I think I saw a trailer for that.
It's pretty good. It's only like 6 episodes. Oh my God, I'm blanking on her name. Laurie Strode. Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, Jamie Lee Curtis, yeah.
Is in for one episode.
Okay.
And something happens to her and she doesn't come back, but she's like incredible.
Okay.
And it's just basically Margot Martindale is a woman whose husband is bedridden at home in a coma, and she's trying to keep the maple syrup farm going, but there's like this, they call it the association, I think, and it's, you know, it's basically like the maple mafia.
Okay.
So they shut her down because it's not her name on the permit, it's the husband's name, and there's all kinds of shady shit there. And ultimately they find out that there's like this like doomsday warehouse full of maple syrup that the association has been hoarding.
Okay.
So they come up with a plan to steal it. And throughout that, there's a bunch of, you know, things that happen, but it's very funny. It's very well done. There's a lot of Bob and Doug McKenzie accents.
Oh, don't you know?
Oh.
Oh, hoser.
Yeah. But yeah, it's not a straight up comedy. I mean, it's very dark. It starts with a guy being found dead in a barrel of maple syrup.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I think you might like it.
Okay.
And like I said, it's only 6 episodes.
I'll give it a shot.
Yeah. May or may not have a second season.
Okay.
But yeah, the sticky.
The Sticky.
It kind of looks like they succeed at the very end, but that might not be the whole story.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's good.
Okay. I'll have to look that up.
It's good. One thumb up. Are you still watching What We Do in the Shadows?
No, that was something I never was able to get into.
Okay, this last episode was freaking hilarious.
Okay.
One of the other characters is supposed to be getting this big honor from all the vampire gangs around New York. And they accidentally kill someone during the ceremony. And it becomes a full-on parody of Warriors.
Okay.
Just hilarious. Like the different, they're taking the subway, they're trying to get back home, and they run into, you know, all these different vampire gangs. It's very funny.
Nice.
And there's only, I think there's only 2, maybe 3 episodes left of the whole series.
Yeah.
What else did I watch? Have you seen the Dick Van Dyke video with Coldplay?
No, I read an interview where he talked about getting to do it, but I have not.
It's interesting. Like, I full on thought it was like a Coldplay video that he's featured in.
Okay.
But it's not. Apparently there was some big family party and Chris Martin happened to be there. And it starts off with Chris Martin and Dick Van Dyke talking, and Dick Van Dyke tells him that, you know, he sings one of his favorite songs. There's a point where he's dancing at frickin' 99 years old. Dick Van Dyke is dancing barefoot out on the patio. He talks about how it's like, you know, I might not make it another year, and that doesn't scare me. It's like, I've had a really good life, and, you know, I'm ready whenever the time comes. And they sing a few bars of the song, and most of it is Chris Martin in the background singing.
Okay.
But it's a really, I don't know. I mean, I guess it was released for Dick Van Dyke's 99th birthday.
Oh, okay.
Or, oh, well, according to this, on Dick Van Dyke's birthday, December 13th, there will be a 7-minute director's cut being released.
Okay.
But, yeah, interesting.
Well, good for him. I mean, he kind of fell out of the spotlight for a while. And
yeah,
has kind of come back into his own towards the end of his life. And, you know, he should be remembered for what he's contributed to entertainment.
Right. Oh, definitely.
You know, I don't think there's anybody from our generation that doesn't know him from Mary Poppins and reruns of the Dick Van Dyke Show on Nick at Night and,
mm-hmm.
you know, but, you know, my kid probably wouldn't know who he was.
She's never seen Mary Poppins.
I think she's seen Mary Poppins.
What kind of
but
parent are you?
No, I mean, she's seen Mary Poppins, but I don't think that, like, she would put together that the old man in the video is that guy.
Oh, okay.
You know, there's that weird disconnect when you watch older stuff.
Right.
You know. And as I get older, I appreciate this kind of stuff more. And, you know.
Sure. Did you see the rumor that Agatha is getting a season 2?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I guess they got their first major award because of this, or was it an award or a nomination or something? What they're saying that, you know, it's being reported that they've got a season 2 coming.
Oh, nice.
With, you know, the ghost of Agatha.
Nice. That's so weird. I mean, and maybe I'm just not familiar with her character enough. But, like, she's like a ghost witch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're saying she's probably going to end up in the Vision movie and the Young Avengers movie, so.
Okay.
But yeah, that could be interesting to see how they carry on.
Yeah, her story's kind of done, so.
Well, unless she's pitted against Wanda.
Yeah, I mean, she could be like her foil or whatever, but like Wanda was bad in the last movie, so.
Right.
You know, I don't know how they square all that, but hopefully with the Marvel wins this year with Agatha and Deadpool, they've kind of looked at what's made those two things work and are able to carry on their storylines better than what they had been. Because it just doesn't feel like anything after Endgame was really that great.
Well, I guess we're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah.
It's hard to knock them all out of the park.
It is, but they were on a really, really good run for a while. Leading up to Endgame, like, everything just seemed to be firing on all cylinders. And, like, once Endgame was over, it almost was like a collective sigh of, like, well, we don't have to keep up that level of showmanship anymore. And it was like, no, you do. Like, you can't just
right.
let it fall. But I don't know. So I watched a couple of things this week. Something that I had mentioned to you that I kind of wanted to put out there, was this, there's a show on, Netflix called, A Man Inside.
Yes. Oh, I watched it.
Okay. So Ted Danson, stars as a widower who, kind of doesn't have anything to do, and his daughter kind of coaxes him into, like, well, you know, you should do something fun. And so he starts working with a private detective, and gets placed inside a retirement home to find out who's been stealing jewelry.
Right.
It's funny and sad and dramatic all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from the people who did Good Place, and shares some characters or some actors with the show, not characters, but actors with the show. Mm-hmm. But I really found it moving. I don't know how you felt about it.
I did too. It was very sad, but yeah. a little uplifting at the same time.
Yeah. So it's meant to be a comedy. But in the middle of this run of shows, you're introduced to these characters that are living in this retirement home who are going through certain things. There's a character that has dementia, and there's a character that, like, they don't really have a lot of friends, and it's just looking at, because you know that in nursing homes all across America, there are people that are neglected. And
sure.
there are people that there are like these characters, and it just, I don't know. There's something about that center section that just tugged at my heartstrings of, like, I never expected it to affect me the way that it did.
Yeah.
And I wasn't expecting to see Sally Struthers either.
No, she was really funny in this.
Yeah. Like, it was a reminder that, like, older actors can be extremely funny.
There was another, can't remember the name of the show. Annalee Ashford is a predominantly known as doing, like, theater stuff in Broadway.
Yeah.
There's a show called Be Positive. And it was, like, based around this other character who runs into her at the high school reunion, and he's telling her how, you know, he's not doing that good. He needs I don't know if it's a kidney or something. He needs a replacement.
Okay.
And she volunteers just to do it. It's like they're not friends. They haven't seen each other for years. But she just... you know, decides, okay, I'm going to do it. And she's kind of wacky and, you know, moves into his house and kind of takes over his life. And, but they end up doing the surgery, kidney donor. And then by the second season, he goes off in a van with Hector Elizondo and, it's all about her.
Oh,
and okay. She's throughout this, she's been working in a nursing home, retirement home. And it had Jim Beaver from Supernatural, Jane Seymour played a slutty grandma, LeVar Burton, a bunch of old school TV stars.
Okay.
And it was basically, you know, their comings and goings at this nursing home, and, you know, LeVar Burton's in the stages of dementia, and at one point they go into his room and he's got all these post-its all over the walls, you know, telling him who his family is and what things are and where he is. And it was very funny because it was a very broad comedy, but okay. It was also very sentimental.
Okay.
You know, I mean, Jane Seymour's trying to, you know, like, screw everybody who's in the nursing home. Linda Lavin is one of the other residents. But, yeah, very similar theme. Okay. Very, very similar theme.
I'll have to look that one up.
Yeah, it's B positive. Okay. Just the letter B.
And something else that I watched this week that affected me on a level that I was not expecting was the finale of Superman and Lois.
Yeah.
I didn't watch past the first season. Okay. I had just kind of fallen off. And I saw this article that was like, the finale of Superman and Lois might be the best hour of superhero television ever. And it's all due to the last 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, well, I'll pull it up and watch the last 15 minutes. the show does something very unique in the fact that it shows the end of Superman's life. And I don't know, there was something about the way that it was told that, as somebody who had only seen the first 10 episodes or whatever it was, it wasn't about the end of a superhero's life. It was about the end of somebody's life and what that meant, and Lois dying of cancer and him having to deal with that. And, like, I don't know, there was just something about it that really caught me off guard. And I was like, I was sobbing at one point. I was like, what am I doing? Like, I haven't even seen the show. And I don't know, I just feel like if they can do that to somebody who hasn't really watched the show, that, like, they know how to tell a story. And I don't know. I did you watch the whole, like, show? Did you watch all the seasons?
I did, and it was kind of hit or miss.
Okay.
But that last episode was like, you just tied everything up in a bow.
Yeah.
And, you know, totally, totally wrapped things up.
Yeah, and I had seen clips on YouTube about when he kind of outs himself to Smallville.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how the people of Smallville really don't care. Like, he's just one of them.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's kind of a cool way to do it. And I kept hearing, like, oh, they kept saying, like, oh, the finale is going to be something else. And I was just like, I've seen CW finales. Like, they're not like heart wrenching, or like, you're kind of glad that it's over at some point. But this was like, I don't know, it was really something that I was not expecting.
Yeah.
Like, and it stayed with me for like a couple of days, that feeling of like the feeling that the ending kind of brought together in me. And I don't know if it's just 'cause I'm getting older, or if it's like, if I had been 25 when this came out, I would feel differently than I do now.
Okay.
But there was just something about the way that it played out where I was like, deeply saddened, and like, I don't know, like, not even seeing the whole show, just appreciative of the way that they told the end of that story.
Right.
So I don't know.
I mean, the whole series was a very interesting take on Clark and Lois, because a lot of it was about the family dynamic, you know, the two boys and, Major Lane, and, you know, all the different people who interact with these characters.
Right.
And then somewhere along the line, we got an alternate universe where John Henry shows up, but John Henry in another life was married to Lois from his planet, and it kind of weird.
Right.
You know, it kind of felt like it wasn't necessary, that they could have told the same story if just John Henry showed up without trying to explain why there's, well, I guess they needed the alternate universe because also Doomsday shows up.
Okay.
These last two seasons. But for the most part, I mean, I really liked the whole season. I mean, it was only three seasons.
Right.
Right?
It was three or four. I don't remember.
Four. Yeah, four is the most recent one.
Okay.
But I mean, it was about more than just Superman. You know, Lois's character was just as important as Superman in this. And you get more into the life of Lana Lang and right. what's going on with her. And it felt, I don't want to say it felt like a soap opera, but it felt like it was a very serious family that was centered around this particular family unit. And some of the things they go through, you know, everybody could possibly go through. It's not just, you know, here's dad is Superman and, you know,
right.
He gets a heart transplant from Major Lane, but I never really warmed up to Michael Cudlitz as Lex Luthor.
Yeah, that's a weird choice.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's so many better Lex Luthors out there.
Yeah, but I will say, as an actor, he's got range. I mean, he's done sitcoms, he did Walking Dead, he did this. He's not a one-trick pony.
Right.
I just didn't feel like he embodied the character enough. But even you get into parts of his family dynamic, you know, he's got an estranged daughter who wants nothing to do with him and, you know, attempts to reconcile, which is kind of driving his manic episodes. But for anyone who hasn't watched it, I mean, it's definitely worth checking out.
Okay.
I mean, especially being on the, what was it on? Is it on WB?
CW.
CW. Yeah. One or the other. You know, because CW wasn't really known for delivering quality superhero TV for a while.
Well, no. And I mean, it's the end of an era because Superman and Lois was the last DC TV show that
right.
the CW was going to produce, which started right. with Arrow, which started this kind of revolution of television superhero stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I guess the next evolution of that will be on Max with all of the stuff that James Gunn is producing.
Right.
But I mean, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a sad day for superhero stuff just because it won't be.
Though?
Well, there won't be any access
to
it without, you know, paying extra to see it.
Yeah, that too.
So, I don't know.
I don't know. I hope James Gunn can save the DC universe. I really do. Because it's pretty much become a joke after The Flash. Well, even before The Flash, the movie version.
Well, yeah.
Let's see how many Easter eggs we can cram into this one movie with the actor nobody fucking likes. And guess what? Nobody came to see it.
Right. In my search to actually watch stuff this week, I started watching this new season of Night Court.
Oh, why?
Well, because I couldn't find anything else. and it popped up and I was like, all right, let me watch it. And it's just as bad as it was.
Yeah. I think Wendy Malick's character is becoming the highlight of it at this point, because she's evenly matched with Dan, and there's a whole will they won't they kind of thing.
Right.
But she's kind of crazy. So, yeah, but yeah, overall it's just not good. No. I'm sorry, but it's because of the leads. Yeah. You know, you can't put somebody against John Larroquette and expect them to succeed.
No. And I just,
because how many prosecutors did the original series have before Marky Post came on?
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely two or three.
Yeah.
But I mean, that was that all seemed, I don't know. The first couple of seasons of Night Court aren't terrific. Like, once Marky Post shows up and they get into that rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It just doesn't seem like this is the time for the Night Court reboot.
No.
Which is a shame, but, you know, whatever.
It is. Well, you know, with all the advances in AI, they can just bring back Harry. I mean, it's only a matter of time before there's a fully AI TV show.
Well, it can't be made in California, though, because those are...
Right.
California is actually doing something about that.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, I haven't really seen a whole lot of stuff in the last week or so that I've enjoyed watching. I mean, there's the things that we talked about, but, like, other than that, like, I'm mostly watching reruns of stuff that I've previously seen, just because I at least enjoy that.
Right. Nothing wrong with that.
No. I mean, I watched Dune. I'm continuing to watch Dune, and it still feels like a slog. Schlag.
Yeah. See, I don't feel like I have the energy to invest in it. I am looking forward to the next Doctor Who special, which we got to wait until Christmas for.
Well, yeah. It's the Christmas Doctor Who special.
Mm-hmm.
Finally. It does look pretty good. Every time that I see Nkuti, I think that's how you say his name. You know, I dig him more and more as the Doctor. I really think that, like, he's bringing something unique to it that... Now, don't get me wrong, Tennant's always going to be my favorite Doctor, but I don't know. There's something about Nkuti that I really like as the Doctor.
Yeah, he's very different, and that's good.
And there's nothing against what's her name, who played the female Doctor. I just didn't like that writing.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people did, unfortunately. Yeah. And maybe with a different writer, you know, it could have been better, but, you know, it's over.
Yep. So now we have this, and, you know, hopefully Disney will keep going with it and allow them to tell more stories. I know that there was only a 2-season commitment that, you know, they're already shooting season 2. But I also think that with the addition of that new companion that was from Bridgerton.
Yep.
You know, she seems like a good actress too. And if you right. get to, if you get a doctor and a companion that has chemistry, the show works.
Right.
You know, there are times when that doesn't happen and you just have to rely on the doctor to do it. But I don't know. It seems like they have good chemistry together.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully it keeps on keeping on.
Yeah.
Did you see that the Ruby slippers were sold at auction?
I did. It's now the most expensive movie prop ever sold at an auction.
Yep.
$23 million?
$32.5 million.
Oh, it was 32?
Well, $28 million plus the premium. So, okay. Yeah. Yeah, previously the record was $5.52 million for the Marilyn Monroe dress from the subway great scene in The Seven-Year Itch.
Wow.
And this is, you know, 30 million or 25 million more than that.
Damn. And this was the pair that was stolen, right?
Yes. This is the pair that Josh Gates tried to help find on his TV show.
Okay.
And did not.
But they were found somewhere and then they were put up for auction.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, that is a shitload of money for a
pair of shoes you can't wear.
Yeah. And I don't know, as an owner of that, I guess you've loaned them out to a museum or something. Like, I wouldn't want to keep those in my house.
No. But I don't know where they would display them. You know, the Smithsonian has a pair. The Academy Museum in LA has their own pair. I don't think that you want a $32 million donation sitting in the Judy Garland house where they were stolen from in the first place.
Right.
You know, unless you put in some kind of, you know, Mission Impossible style burglar system.
Maybe the Seattle Pop Culture Museum? Maybe. You know, just somewhere where you wouldn't have to worry about them getting stolen again.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it would definitely have to be somewhere incredibly secure.
Yeah. I was so I thought the second highest priced prop was Robbie the Robot. Am I wrong thinking that?
Robbie the Robot was
$5.375 million.
Yeah.
And what was the Marilyn Monroe dress? 5.6?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Maybe I was thinking of like something that wasn't a, well, I'm the Ruby slippers are costume technically.
Yeah. I mean the piano from Casablanca.
Yeah.
Where Sam plays as time goes by went for $3.4 million.
Maltese Falcon went for $4 million.
Yep.
Huh.
plus a $585,000 buyer's premium. That's a ripoff.
Yeah. It's always weird, though, when you see props that you think would not be out in the wild selling, like Star Wars props.
Mm-hmm.
Because Lucas was so adamant about storing all of that stuff that it's always weird when they're like, oh, well, Luke Skywalker's lightsaber was sold. But how? Wouldn't that be something that Lucas hold on to?
Right. You would think.
I mean, it's not like they had, like when Paramount opened all of the Star Trek crates and sold everything from all the Star Trek shows. Like, I understand how that stuff ends up out in the public, but like Star Wars is supposed to be like all held at the Lucasfilm archive.
Right.
So it's always strange to me when that shit shows up.
Well, I think stuff disappears. I mean, actors take souvenirs and people on the crew take souvenirs and,
yeah,
you know, I would certainly take souvenirs.
Oh, what's her name? Who played Khaleesi in Game of Thrones?
Emilia Clarke.
She did an interview where they asked her what she took, and she said that she didn't take anything. And she was like, she asked for a wig.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, because you got like seven of them, like, just give me one. And apparently they said that they would ship it to her. And she was like, oh, great.
Yeah.
And they never did. She's like, I should have just stolen it.
Right.
So, yeah, she's got absolutely nothing from Game of Thrones.
Well, that's sad.
Yeah.
Not a dragon egg. Nothing.
Nope. Because she thought she did the right thing and was asking for it.
Right. See, it's always better to ask forgiveness than permission. That's the only way, especially in this world.
Well, yeah. I didn't know that was illegal, you know?
Yeah.
Just gotta lie about it. Oh, brother. All right. Do you have anything else for this week?
No, I don't. No? I've run out of things.
All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us at Facebook and YouTube and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week. Nothing?
Yeah, I got nothing.
No.